Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. I thank all of you. What happened to me? Hare Krishna, welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji, 12 lessons on topic Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 25, on Chetur Shloki verses second verse. Hare Krishna Kirtida Sundari Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much Mataji for joining and giving your recitation. We are very very fortunate to have you on the call, and please forgive me for the mistake that I did, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vinita Dandarvika Mataji. Thank you so much for your warm welcome and introducing everybody. And no apologies, Mataji. Nothing to worry about. It's a common thing, but fine. So thank you all so much for joining on the call. Thank you for all your valuable association, giving your precious time to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So let's get started. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, which is entitled Answers by Citing the Lord's Vision. And today we'll cover text number 34. So why I'm saying Bhagavatam in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class? Because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami actually mentions these four chatushloki, the four important key verses, the essence of all the Srimad Bhagavatam, the key verses he mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now telling about all these four verses to Prakashanand Saraswati. So that's the context. And all these four verses are there in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita mentioned. And in the last class, we covered the first verse. Right? So we'll just repeat the verse. Re ratham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tat vidyad atmano mayam yatha bhasho yatha tamam. Translation. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusionary energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshir Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Chari Swami Niti Namini. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivaskadi Gauravaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So dear devotees, this is quite a deep philosophical subject matter on which, we are speaking today. And I really request all of you to please shower your heartfelt blessings and prayers so that I may convey the right message as being conveyed by Krishna to Brahma or our dear Srila Prabhupada to the whole world, or to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Prakashavan Saraswati. So that right message can be delivered. So please bless me. Vancha kalpata rubhacha kripasindu vayivacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namo. So please first of all forgive me for always taking up such philosophical subject matters. I don't know whether this is for Krishna's arrangement, that all philosophy comes on to me, though I don't prefer and I don't like to speak so much on philosophy because it myself is not clear. It's so much there to understand. And I myself is not, 100%. I just speak like a parrot. So, but accept it as Krishna's arrangement and accept it as a service to please Krishna and, of course, to purify myself. So, again, we are in the next philosophical class. First class, we discuss the first shloki, the Chaturshloki, the first shloka of Chaturshloki Srimad Bhagavatam, where the Lord is the supreme reality at all times. That was discussed before the creation, during the creation, and even after the annihilation. He is the only one who will be there, and that was discussed in detail. Now, this verse will deal about understanding Maya. And last class we discussed, right, that the first verse is about the understanding of the absolute truth. The second verse that we'll discuss today will be the understanding of Maya. The third and the fourth verse that we'll do it, Krishna willing, in future classes, will be understanding material nature and understanding human intelligence, respectively. So now, in this verse, we will discuss what is Maya. So basically, we'll discuss the three aspects in this verse. First is, what is Maya? Why is Maya there at all? Means, what is the origin of Maya? And the third part we'll discuss, that how Maya works. This is how we'll understand what is about, and we'll have the clear understanding of Maya. And last, not the least, we'll discuss about Yoga Maya, right? So let's get started. I don't know how many of you are taking notes, but if you are, then it's very beneficial because I myself took notes, and it will be beneficial for the future reference. So first we'll discuss what is Maya. So in this verse, as Prabhupada translates, that how that appears to be real. Something that appears to be real, but of course it is disconnected with the Lord. That is Maya, right? So we'll discuss what is Maya. So we all know that in this material world, we all want to live, right? But we are forced to die. We all want happiness, but these threefold miseries, different miseries, they are imposed upon us forcefully. They are imposed. We don't want it, but it get imposed on us. And the classic example that we are seeing is the coronavirus that is going on, right? So we have three kinds of miseries: adidaivik, adibhautik, and adhyatmik. So all this itself is a problem, right? Now, how to resolve? Is this problems, is this miseries that we are facing, every day we face, is that Maya? So let's understand what Maya is. So yesterday, when Savitri Mataji was covering her few verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions about three things. He mentioned about Ishvara, who is the Supreme Lord. Then he mentions about the Jiva, the soul. And then he mentions about the material world, right? Now, these three aspects, material nature or material world, these three aspects are also the aspects of Bhagavad Gita. Actually, Bhagavad Gita deals in five aspects: Ishvara, Jiva, material nature, that is Prakriti, and Kala and Karma. These are the two extra that Bhagavad Gita deals with. But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions about three things: Ishvara, Jiva, and material world. To take it more poetic, he said, Jagadish, Jiva, and Jagat. With the three alliterations, right? With the starts with the word Ja. So Ishvara is Jagadish, and Jiva is Jiva, that is soul, and material nature, or the material world, which is Jagat. So all three, the Manavadis think that they all are separate. Jagat is different, Jiva is different, Jagadish is different. In one sense, yes, they are, but as our philosophy is what our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, the Vaishnava's philosophy is, that the Jagadish is basically the source of Jiva and Jagat. It's not that Jiva and Jagat, they are independent of Jagadish, Right. The soul and the material world is not independent of the Supreme Lord. Rather, the Supreme Lord is the source of the soul, that is the jiva, the living entity, and is also the source of the material nature, jagat. They all are basically the integral whole. All three of them are interconnected. Rather than concerning that, rather than conceiving that they are separate, we have to understand they all are interconnected. The jiva and jagat, they are connected to Jagdish. And that's what this verse explains, that what is Maya. When we don't have the connection of jiva and jagat with Jagdish, that is Maya. Right? As Prabhupada says, it's a separated energy which doesn't hold any value. Right? Let's understand this with an example. So if we go to any desert, right? Deserts are famous of having less of water, and there is so much sun that normally the mirages are being formed. So if we go to the desert and we see mirage, so actually there is no water, but there appears to be the water, right? And that's what the mirage is. When there is no water, there is no real water, but it looks like, because of the refraction of the sun, that looks like that, yes, there is a water. That is what is illusion we perceive through our senses, right? Through our senses, through our eyes. Our eyes think, because eyes see the things. So our eyes, through our eyes, we perceive that this is illusion. This is an illusion. Actually, this is an illusion. Another example we see that when we, in, you know, when we were in the childhood, we used to take a stick and put it in a transparent jar. You can do it right now, means after the class. And you can do it, and you can put a stick and put it in the transparent jar. So because of the refraction, the portion of the stick which is submerged in the water, it appears to be bent. Right? Now this is also illusion. But this is the illusion through our perception, how we perceive things. Right? Now is this Maya? No. This is not Maya. The mirage, the bending of the stick in the transparent jar because of the refraction, this is all not Maya. We can say that's an aspect of Maya, but this is actually not Maya. Actually, the Maya is related not to our perceiving things, but through our conceiving things, how we conceive things through our consciousness, through our mind. Because Maya originates in our mind, in our consciousness, in our conception. Right. Let's read the first two lines. Rite ratham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. First, let's understand the words, the word-to-word meaning, and then we'll move forward. Right? Rite artham. Artham means, there are three meanings of artham. Artha means meaning. Artha itself means the meaning. Meaning is what artha is. And artha also means wealth. Like we have Artha Mantri, the finance minister. Also we read Adharma Artha Kama Moksha. So that is also Artha. Something is wealth, right? And the third meaning is something that holds value. Just like we say that we have Anarthas, something which is useless, which doesn't have any value. And the opposite of Anartha is Artha, right? Something which has value. So Rite Artham. Rite means without. Without that value. Right, rite atartham yat pratiyeta. Pratiyeta means something that appears valuable or appears meaningful. Right, so rite artham yat pratiyeta means without value, there is no value, but it appears to be valuable. That's the meaning of the first line. Right, na pratiyeta chatmani. Na pratiyeta, na means no, and pratiyeta means again appears. Cha atmani, cha means and atmani. But in our appearance, we don't see any connection. Atmani, Prabhupada translates as Supreme Lord. So that which appears to be meaningful, to be valuable, but it does not appear to have any connection with the Supreme Lord. That is the meaning of the first two lines. Rite artham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. I'll repeat. That which appears to be meaningful, to be valuable, but it does not appear to have any connection with the Supreme Lord. The third line. Tat vidyat atmano mayam. That means vidyat means you must know through that knowledge. To that knowledge you must know. Atmana means my, maya, mayam, illusionary energy. So all you must know is that maya. This is what I'm talking about, means something that appears to be meaningful but does not appear to have any connection with the Supreme Lord. That is my maya. Krishna is saying Atmana mayam. That is my maya, my illusionary energy. Yatha bhasho yatha tama. How? Just as reflection which appears to be in darkness. So this is the real meaning, the word-to-word translation meaning of the word. Now, just reading, we may not understand fully, so we'll dive deep into it now. So, in Ramayana, we'll take the example of Ramayana. We all know that Ravana, how he abducts Sita, right? Actually, he doesn't want to abduct Sita. That was not his original plan. Because we know that he was cursed that if he violates the chastity of any woman, then he will die. So he has no plans to abduct Sita. But he made the master plan. And what was the master plan? That he first kicked out Rama out of the way through Marich. And Marich became a golden deer. We all know the history. We all know the story. We all know this pastime. Right? So we'll just see the key thing in this. So he made a master plan that he first kicked out Rama from the scene, out of the way, through Maricha, who became the golden deer. And we know that how Sita was attracted and she forced Rama that I want and so and so forth. And Rama went out. Sita was all alone. And how even she forced Lakshman to go out of the scene. So now Ravana came and he disguised himself as saint. Now, as a saint, he asked Sita for alms. He begged Sita for some alms. And Sita offered her some food. So as soon as she offered the food, he revealed his original form. His original form of Ravana. Not the Dasha Anana, not the ten-headed Ravana, because that form may be quite fearful to Sita, but a normal two-handed, one head. He revealed that form to Sita. And then what he did, he started bragging about himself. Like, I am the king of Rakshasas. And you know, I am the most powerful one. I defeated Indra. So through his speech, he started bragging. That's the first thing he did. The second thing he did, he considered Ram to be the competitor. Because he started saying, let's see, I am so powerful, I can give you all happiness of this world you want. Why you want to stay with Ram? He is just a pauper, resides in the forest. And see, now he just left you all alone in this forest. What kind of a chaste husband he is? So he started saying something bad about Rama, right? And the third thing what he did is, he started flattering Sita, that you are so beautiful. You are really the goddess of fortune. You are so beautiful. You are not meant to stay with this pauper, this beggar like Rama. Rather, you have your beauty. You are so beautiful that you need to stay with me. I'll make you the princess of Lanka. I'll make you. And you please come and stay with me because your beauty is really for me so that I can enjoy. So instead of thinking Sita for Lord Ram, he started thinking Sita for his own enjoyment. That's what Ravana did, right? He brags himself. He considered Ram as to be the competitor. And then finally he started flattering Sita. And when none of this had worked, Sita was still chased to Lord Ram. He finally attacked Sita. And we know that how he took it, took Sita to Lanka. And there, basically, Vibhishan tries, when they came to know that Lord Rama has crossed the bridge, has made the bridge and crossed the ocean and have landed to Lanka, at that time, he called up his confidential ministers to discuss that what step to be taken next. And then Vibhishan tries to explain in various ways to Ravana that what you have done is not right. So the point here to be noted is that Vibhishana said that why have you brought Sita here? She is such a most unfortunate woman. See, now who is saying? Vibhishan is telling Ravana, who is a devotee of Lord Rama and Sita Devi. He is saying that why have you brought this most unfortunate woman here? And because after you brought after you have brought Mother Sita in Lanka, all inauspicious omens are present. So why have you brought? So better return her back to Lord Rama. Now, this is the contract. Sita is none other than goddess of fortune. Right? And because of her, there is always the science of auspiciousness. Because she herself is the goddess of fortune. Right? So it's so strange that he is saying that Vibhishan is saying that she is the most unfortunate one. Because of her, inauspiciousness things are prevailing in Lanka. See the contrast. So it all looks so strange, isn't it? So this is what? Rite artham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. Ravana seeing Sita, but he is not seeing Sita in connection with Lord Rama. He is thinking that Sita is meant only for my enjoyment. And that thought that we all jivas have, that things in this material world are meant for my pleasure, for my sense gratification, for my sense enjoyment, independent of Krishna, is what is called Ravana Vritti, or also called Maya. This is what Maya is. Now, Sita is not Maya, right? Ravana's conception that Sita is separate from Rama, so I have the full authority to enjoy Sita for my sense gratification. That conception that is present in the mind of Ravana, that is Maya.
Okay. See,
for Matt, Hare Krishna, can I request everyone to be on mute? Thank you so much. So for Matt, all the women in this world is not Maya. Similarly, for women, say all the man in this world is not Maya. But actually, when we do not have the correct understanding, when a man thinks that the woman is for his own sense gratification, or the woman thinks that the man is for satisfying her lusty desires, that conception, when they're present in our mind, that is Maya. That particular thing is for my enjoyment. It is separated from Krishna. And that conception, when it is present in our mind, that is Maya. The woman itself is not Maya. The conception that a man carries that this woman is for my sense enjoyment so I can exploit her in the ways that I want, that conception is Maya. Right? And whatever causes that separation without Krishna, that what is the channel through which Maya attacks. Let's understand this. So we all know that in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asked Krishna, what is that impels Jiva to commit sinful acts? Even though we don't want to, even unwillingly, but still we are forced to commit some sinful acts. So in the next verse, Krishna says, it's lust only, Arjuna. And that lust, where it is found? that lust is found in three places: Indriyani, Mano, Buddhi, that is senses, mind and intelligence. So it's lust only, Arjuna, because of which one commits sinful activities unwillingly. And that lust is present in Indriyani, Mano, Buddhi, that is in senses, in mind and intelligence. So Krishna is not saying that the lust is present in some another person. No, it's present in our own mind, our own senses, our own intelligence. It may be possible that seeing some images or seeing some sights, there must be some trigger. And, our mind, our consciousness, they might get triggered, right? But that trigger is not the main point. How we react after that trigger is what is the main concern is, right? If there is no bullet in the gun, what do you think? Even if you press the trigger, what will happen? The bullet will not come out, so there will be no active result to it because the bullet is empty. But if the bullet has something in it, there is a bullet in the gun, right? Then what happens when you press the trigger? The bullet comes out. But if there is no bullet in gun, how many times you press the trigger, the bullet will not come out because there is no bullet in the gun. So some sources may trigger us, but that's not the real reason for that lust. The source is what is present within us. If we have the lusty desire and we have the desire to enjoy, then yes, we will commit some sinful activities. So it is all that what depends on our consciousness. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj gives a very classic analogy in this regard. He says that if you squeeze a mango, what will you get? Mango juice. If you squeeze an orange, what will you get? Orange juice. It's not the other way around that if you squeeze a mango, you'll get orange juice. No. You squeeze a mango, you'll get a mango juice. You squeeze an orange, you'll get orange juice. Similarly, when provoking situations squeezes us, then what will come out? What is there inside us? That will come out. What is there in our consciousness? That is come out. If we have anger, lust and pride, that will come out. Right? So this is what is present in the gun. And then when we press the trigger, it comes out. So the principle that we have to understand is that the matter or the person or the circumstance, they are not Maya. How we conceive them through our mind is what Maya is. We cannot blame others. It's very easy to blame others. We keep on blaming others, we keep on blaming the situations, we keep on blaming the circumstances, the scenarios, that we are not able to practice Krishna Bhakti. Right? But they are primarily not responsible of it. It's our own misconceptions, our impurities, our anarthas, which are totally responsible that keep us away to practice Krishna Bhakti. And that is what is needed to purify. Of course, seeing or hearing something, some mundane thoughts or some mundane acts do trigger. Some mundane temptations do trigger. And that is why Acharyas or our Guru Vargas, they always say that stay away from it. Avoid such temptations. Avoid such scenes. Avoid such circumstances. Do not expose themselves to us, to them. Those things are not to be blamed. You cannot blame the circumstance. But yes, you can avoid to be in that circumstance. Sometimes if we browse something and some scenes come, some movie scenes come. Now, that movie scene itself is not Maya. Right? If you browse something in some YouTube, if you are browsing, some movie clippings come, right? They, that self is not Maya. But we pressing on that button and seeing that few minutes video, that is what is Maya. That clipping itself is not Maya. It's up to us whether we want to get exposed to that clipping or we don't. We can always avoid it and move on and to see what we were really browsing for. We can focus the point, our mind on the point for what we started the act. But if we sidetrack to it and we get attracted to other things, then yes, there will be a fall down. And sometimes, you know, these things happen that we say, oh, I was watching on my own. You know, I'm not impacting on anybody. What's harm in that, you know, if we are seeing it? But we have to understand that if nothing happens, then something happens, right? It enters our chitta, it enters our consciousness, and then when something enters, it has to come out also. So one day or another, it will come out either in our words or in our actions or in our deed. It will definitely come out. So the point here is that the circumstance, the scenario, the person, that is not Maya. It has to be very clear in our eyes. We cannot say that the circumstance is Maya and that's what we have been put into it and that's why I'm not able to practice Krishna Bhakti. No. The circumstance, the person, the scenario, the things, they cannot be Maya. The Maya is what we conceive things through our senses. That is what Maya is. Hope it is clear. Now, what is Maya? We have discussed. Now, why is there Maya at all? What is the origin of Maya? That we'll discuss now. Now, we all discussed in the last class that how soul always have a free will. Why the soul always have a free will? To have a loving reciprocation with the Supreme Lord. Right. Now, to execute that free will, there has to be some place given by Krishna himself where we can really execute our free will, either use it or misuse it. That place, that arena is the place of Maya, which is this material world. It's only in this material world that we can use and misuse our free will. If we use our free will in Krishna conscious way, then yes, we'll progress in our spiritual life. But if we misuse our free will and think that we don't need Krishna, we don't need the association of devotees, then of course we'll degrade ourselves. So that place, this material world, is the place which is given to Maya to act. Now in 7:14, this is very important verse, we all know, we all must have memorized also this verse. In Bhagavad Gita 7 chapter 14th verse, it says, Devihi esha gunamai mama maya durataya mama eva hi prapadante mayam etam tarantite. What Krishna is saying? Devihi esha gunamai. Right? He is describing Maya. What he is describing, he is using three adjectives here. Daivi. So Maya is divine. Right? It's not demonic. Maya is not demonic. Why? Because her purpose is divine. So, Daivi, so Krishna is saying it's divine. Guna Mayi, it is made of the mode. And Mama, the third adjective is Mama, that this is my Maya. That's what Krishna says. Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, it says Vaishnavi Janmohini, that she is a devotee, she is a Vaishnavi. But her duty is to test people by exposing them to some illusions or temptations. Her purpose is divine. That is why she is meant to be Daivi. How her purpose is divine? Because her main purpose is to take the cream of devotees to Krishna. She doesn't want that every random person can approach Krishna. She wants a person who is a sthita pragya, who can deal in any situation, who can be calm in the situation of sorrows and in situation of happiness. She wants only a sthita pragya person to reach to Krishna. And that's why she herself brings out some temptations to a person. She is the source of all temptations. What temptations we have is coming from Maya, but those temptations are not Maya. How we deal with those temptations is what Maya is. If we fall prey onto the Maya, then Maya wins over. But if we still stay calm and equipoised, and if through the knowledge of the Shastras that has been given to us, then yes, we win over Maya. So she is a devotee. She is the one who exposes us to illusions, to temptations. So actually, in Srila Prabhupada was once asked that when our purpose is to serve Krishna, then why is Maya so strong? Why is Maya there obstructing us in our service? That's a valid question, you know, we all devotees do have at some point of time. That if our purpose is to serve Krishna, see, our purpose is also clear, right? We all want to serve Krishna. So Maya should support us. Why she is basically obstructing us by putting forward some temptations in front of us? Prabhupada replied, this is because our purpose is not so strong. If our purpose is strong, that yes, I want to wholeheartedly serve Krishna no matter what may come in, then Maya doesn't have any role. Then we win over Maya. Right? Since our purpose is not so strong, Maya takes over. Our thinking is that yes, Krishna is good, but Maya is also not bad. You know, we should not be fanatical. We can ride on two boats, you know. We can do little bit of material enjoyment and little bit of Krishna bhakti. That's what our nature is. But moment we step on two boats, what happens? How long we can ride on two boats? We cannot. We'll fall down. So Prabhupada says that our purpose is not so strong. That's why, you know, Maya takes over. And Maya, when she gives up some temptations, we fall prey onto those temptations. Classic example is given by Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto, where he describes about the scratching of itch. Right? So when we do get a rash in any part of our body, if we stop scratching it and if we apply some medication, what happens? It completely gets cured and then finally we forget even about the rash. On the other hand, if the rash is there and we keep on scratching, will it ever be cured? No. Similarly, when we practice bhakti, right, then there are some certain temptations that come forward on or to our way. But we should not give any attention to those temptations, just like we should not scratch that rash. Then slowly what happens? It goes away. And if we don't contemplate it, then it goes away, that temptation goes away, and finally we even forget about it. We all must have experienced, those who were meat eaters before coming into Krishna consciousness, or even if they were vegetarian but they were eating onion and garlic. So what happened? When we were in the process of practicing bhakti, then these temptations do come. It's not easy to let go the taste of onion and garlic or meat, whatever you can say, whatever the temptations of an individual is. Immediately, it's not possible to give it away. Those temptations come in. Okay, let me eat outside in a restaurant. What's harm anyway? 6 days I'm eating at home. One day if I eat in the restaurant, what's there? You know, these kind of temptations do come in our initial status of Krishna consciousness when we are just like a bud, you know, practicing Krishna bhakti. But the moment we say, no, I should not eat. If I'm not eating 6 days in the restaurant and eating Krishna prasadam, then let me sacrifice that 7th day also and give wholeheartedly to Krishna by eating Krishna prasadam only. If we have that kind of determination, then what happens? Slowly and slowly, the taste of onion, garlic, or any kind of temptation that we had will go away. Slowly it will go away. And now, after so many years of Krishna consciousness, do we still hanker for those things? No. We have completely forgotten it. Just, you know, I'll just give you my example. That now is such a case that even when we go out for book distribution and somebody opens the door and there is a strong smell of onion and garlic, it's very hard to even stand there. And see the point when we were relishing those onion and garlic preparations. We were simply enjoying those. And now the smell is intolerable for us. We just cannot stand. Explain the points of Bhagavad Gita so that the person can take. But we take that risk. We do take that risk. We stand there and we still explain the concept of Bhagavad Gita and try that a person, other side, should take Bhagavad Gita. But it's intolerable to stand there because we cannot take up that smell now. So slowly what happened is, the moment we keep on practicing bhakti, that temptation goes away. And finally we forget even that, oh, yeah, once in a while we were eating that. We even forget the taste. That's what the point is. So if we give up scratching, that rash will certainly go away. That desire to fall under that temptation will go away. So it's up to us that how we prepare ourselves in Krishna Bhakti. If our Krishna Bhakti is not so strong, then yes, Maya will trouble us. Otherwise, the Maya won't trouble us. If we are strong in our determination, in our purpose, then Maya won't trouble us. What does it mean that Maya won't trouble us means? See, Maya is an illusionary energy of Krishna. But her channel to act is through our mind. So if our mind is totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then Maya won't trouble us. That's the point. And then what Krishna says, Mama eva ye prapadyante mayam etam karanti te. How you can get over through this Maya? The way to get over this Maya is to only surrender unto me. Mar eva ye prapadyante. Full your consciousness through thoughts of my pastimes, my instructions, my form, my sweetness, my holy name. Full your consciousness through that. See, if your jar is full with Krishna consciousness, then there is no space for Maya to enter. Maya can only enter if there is a space in the jar. If there is a space in the jar, only then you can put another rock, right? Otherwise, you cannot. So to win over Maya is to fill our consciousness, our thoughts, totally, 100% with Krishna consciousness. Only then mayam etam taranti te. Then only you can overcome this illusionary energy of mind. Otherwise, it is impossible. That's what Krishna is telling to Arjuna. And that's what this verse even says. So we discussed two things. What is Maya? And then what is the need of Maya? Means what is the origin of Maya? And now the third aspect we'll discuss. How Maya works. So Maya is not just an illusion. Prabhupada writes in the translation, know it as my illusionary energy. Krishna is saying this is not an illusion. Maya is not an illusion. Maya is an illusionary energy. What does it mean? Now, for example, we take back to our example of mirage. Now, if somebody is intelligent, who knows the science, right? Then what he'll say, oh, I know that this is mirage in the desert. So he'll not search and run after for the water in that mirage. Because he knows that this place is a desert. So this is the mirage that is being formed because of the refraction of the sun. So definitely this is not water. So he has win over that illusion. That illusion of mirage. So, does it mean that he overtook Maya? No. He has been over the illusion. But Maya is not illusion. Maya is illusionary energy. So, our purpose is not just to become intelligent by reading all those philosophical things, Oh, I know each and every verse of Bhagavad Gita. I know all the verses of Bhagavatam. I know in and out of Bhagavatam. If this is what our motive is, then we really have to check ourselves. Right? The ultimate thing of becoming intelligent, of becoming knowledgeable, or having some wisdom in Vedic knowledge is to surrender unto Krishna. If we don't surrender into Krishna and we leave Krishna aside, then Maya will act. See, Maya can act in various ways. Again, we'll cite an example that there is an Ekadashi, right? Now, through this knowledge, Shastric knowledge, through our intelligence, we know that we are not supposed to eat grains on Ekadashi. And a person thinks that, what to talk about the Ekadashi thing, even I fast completely on Ekadashi. I do Nirjala. And a person is doing Nirjala, but what he goes on looking, that, devotees are eating Krishna Ekadashi Prasadam. See how they are feasting themselves by eating Ekadashi Prasadam. It's fine, they are not eating grain, but still they are feasting on Ekadashi. And see me, I'm so great that I'm doing the Nirjala the whole day. Now we are doing Nirjala. Why? Because through the Shastric intelligence, we came to know that yes, one has to fast Nirjala on Ekadashi. That is the right way. Of course, if you know someone cannot, then yes, various, is given to us that, okay, you can drink water, you can take fruits, and if not, then you can take Ekadashi Prasadam as per the health situation. But the ideal way is to fast Nirjala on Ekadashi, on every Ekadashi. So now when we are fasting, are we really fasting? No. We are simply feasting our egos, thinking that, I'm so great that I can do Nirjala. And see others, they are eating Ekadashi Prasadam. They just cannot control their senses. They cannot control their tongue. Right. So now what has happened? Our intelligence is now transferred into pride, which is more subtler anartha to go away. Biggest temptation to go away. Pride makes us feel that we don't need Krishna anymore. We don't need the association of devotees anymore. Then the real difficulty starts. That's what happened. So on our path of bhakti, if sometimes we succeed and sometimes we fail, if our bhakti goes in waves, then we should think that we are really progressing. Even when we do the ECG of the heart, the doctor says if that screen on the monitor, if it comes in your waves, that means your heart is right. If it doesn't, then you are declared dead. If it's a straight line, you are declared dead. Similar thing happened in our Krishna Bhakti. If we succeed and simultaneously sometimes fail in Krishna Bhakti, that humbles us down that we need Krishna's mercy. If we keep on succeeding in all our Krishna conscious activities, then that will feast our ego. Then that will train us saying that we don't need Krishna anymore. I can do these things perfectly on my own. But if sometimes we fail while doing some devotional service, then that teaches us that yes, still we are 100% dependent on Krishna. We need the association of devotees. We need that humbled us down that we stand nowhere without mercy of Krishna. So that is why the graph of Krishna Bhakti should always be in waves, sometimes up, sometimes down. Down, why? Not abominably down, but down when we really think that, I'm nowhere without the mercy of Krishna or without the association of devotees. See, we have to focus ourselves, engage us in Krishna's service, rather than thinking of my own anarthas. Sometimes there are some anarthas in all of us, especially I'll talk about myself. But if I keep focusing on my anartha, that won't hold any value. So let me focus on Krishna's, on engaging in Krishna's service rather than focusing on my anartha. Again, we'll cite with an example. If I'm a good singer, right? Now, this is my ability. This is my strength. Anyway, I'm just giving an example. I know I'm a very bad singer. But just an example, that if I'm a very good singer, then what happens? While I'm singing the Vaishnava bhajans, while I'm singing Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Sankirtan, what I am doing? I'm singing Krishna's Kirtan, but in my mind I'm thinking, oh, so see, somebody is listening to me. They must be praising that how wonderfully I'm singing. All my rags, all my notes are, all my pitch is on to the point. So that is not the main thing. So I am singing Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Bhajan. Listening to my bhajan, another person is getting Krishna Bhakti. All is positive. I'm singing Krishna Bhajan, right? I'm not singing something mundane. And by listening those Krishna Bhajans, another person's heart gets transformed by listening to that Krishna Bhajan. But what is getting transformed is me, is that my ability is getting transformed into pride. I am not focusing on Krishna's qualities of pastimes or Krishna's glories that is being sung in that bhajan. Rather, I am just focusing that what people, what devotees are thinking about me. So what is enhancing me? Bhakti is not enhancing in me. My ego is enhancing in me. So this is what we have to understand. And if we have some weakness, then also we should try to submit, try to be surrender unto Krishna to please help us. This is our weakness. Please help me so that I can get over to it. Only these weaknesses and strength will make us humble down before Krishna. Sometimes, you know, devotees do become so humble that, oh, you know, externally they are so humble. Oh, I cannot sing. I cannot give class. You know, you all are so great stalwart devotees. I'm nothing in front of you. You know, such kind of thing also should not come in one's mind. Oh, I cannot sing, you know, because, you know, if we say that, oh, we all, in the heart we know that, oh, I'm a great singer, right? But externally we'll show, oh, I'll not sing, because if I'll sing, then what will happen? I'll become proud. So that means we have pride in us. We have pride in us. The only thing is we are trying to avoid the situation because that will make us proud. But then what happens? Okay, I lose my chance of singing and another person gets the chance of singing. And then what happens? We say, oh, see, now he or she is singing. She's just boosting her ego. And, you know, she's just doing some show off. So what happened now? What we think, our pride, we are avoiding the situation so that I don't get pride. And then pride is getting into transformed into jealousy, right? And then finally, that pride will be converted into animosity, the enviousness. We finally envy the other person who is still singing. See? So, don't get confused. The thing is that whatever ability we have, whatever, I may be a good singer, I may not be a good singer. I may give some good classes, I may not give good classes. I may cook opulent things for Krishna, I may not. I may be a very good cook, I may not. But whatever we have to try to involve or indulge our abilities in Krishna's service. If we do not do that, then all our gross anarthas will convert it into subtle anarthas, and those subtle anarthas will finally get transformed into envy, which has no place in Krishna consciousness. So we have to finally utilize whatever abilities we have by surrendering into Krishna, by taking the association of devotees, we have to use our abilities in Krishna's service. At the same time, being humble down through humility only. Right? Now, this is how Maya works. Now, the last thing what we have to consider is Yoga Maya. I'll go quickly because I don't want to pass over the time. So, there is a oxymoron in English. When two opposite words come together, like we say sometimes, you know, he's an intelligent fool. Right? So, intelligent and fool are two opposite words. But we bring it together in a sentence. And another example, we can say that, suicide is an act of courageous cowardice. Now, courageous and coward, again, two opposites are coming. Why it is considered to be an act of suicide is considered to be an act of courageous cowardice? Because, first of all, committing suicide requires courage. And why it is turned to be the act of cowardice? Because only those persons commit suicide, those who cannot face the reality of the work of the world. They don't want to face, they don't have the ability to face. And that's why they commit suicide. Right. So this is, the oxymoron. It is said as a term as oxymoron in English language. Similarly, this Yoga Maya is an example of oxymoron. Yoga means yuti. Something that connects us with the Supreme. And Maya is something that takes away from Krishna, from Supreme. So Yoga Maya, how does it work? Yoga Maya is that energy of Krishna which connects us with Krishna by putting us in illusion for Krishna. That's how the Yoga Maya works. See, there is a forgetfulness when Maya Maya works. There we forget completely the supremacy of Krishna, that I don't need Krishna at all. That's how we are put into illusion. And Yoga Maya also puts us in illusion where we are put into the illusion for Krishna's supremacy, but at the same time, we are connected with Krishna. Example, Yashoda Mai. Yashoda Mai, she knows that he is my son. She thinks Krishna has to be my son. If Yashoda Mai thinks that he is the Supreme Lord, she will never take up the stick behind Krishna. She carries stick behind Krishna. Why? Because she is put under the illusion that Krishna is not God. But ultimately, she is 100% connected with Krishna. Whereas Mahamaya, when she works, then she also put us into the illusion that Krishna is not the Supreme. But at the same time, she disconnects us with Krishna. But Yoga Maya, she makes us into the illusion that Krishna is not the Supreme. At the same time, she connects us 100% with Krishna. So all the Vrajavasis are basically under the spell of Yoga Maya. They are under the illusion that Krishna is not the Supreme and Krishna is just a little boy. Right? So they can have a loving relationship. So Yoga Maya intensifies our devotion and intensifies our Krishna, our connection with Krishna. So if it's the illusion that Yashoda Maya is put into it, where she thinks, oh, if I'll not feed my Kanha, then Kanha will starve, he'll go hungry. Now Krishna, who feeds everybody's bellies, can he ever go hungry? Can he ever starve? He is the Supreme Lord, right? But Yashoda Maya is put into the illusion that if I am not able to feed Krishna, then my Krishna will starve. So she is 100% absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. Let me do this for Krishna. Let me do this for Krishna. Same there with cowherd boys. Let us play so that Krishna is happy. Let us do something so that Krishna is happy. Gopis always thinking, always 24/7, 365 days thinking of Krishna. That is how they are absorbed in Krishna. And that's what we all should be. We all should be responsible in all our services we are doing. Because if we take that responsibility in our service, that responsibility will create some anxiety in us. See, if I have to give class, if I take the responsibility that, yes, Tuesday mid-morning, 11 o'clock, I have to give class. If I take up that responsibility, naturally there will be an anxiety in me. Oh, I should deliver it properly. I should reveal the right message. Let me frame, let me present my class in such a way so that it's easy to understand. It will or it will not be, that's a result of my action. But my practice will be, my anxiety will be that let me do this. So I'll put on all my hard work. I'll be anxious. And that anxiety, that anxiousness is really needed in Krishna Bhakti, in Krishna consciousness, in practicing our devotional service. That is the real purpose. We should be responsible and at the same time we should be anxious. Whether we are cooking, we should not think I'm a good cook and I can cook left and right, center and done. Oh, I can dress very well. I can do Shingar of Krishna so well that, oh, it gives me 2 hours, I can do it in 1 hour itself. If we have that kind of feeling, then we are not doing devotional service. Because devotional service to Krishna always should have anxiety. I can give thousands of classes, but still the next class when it comes up, I should be anxious. That anxiety should be there in me, whether I'll be able to say it properly or not, whether the right words will come in my mouth or not. That anxiety should always be there. And that anxiety will lead us back home, back to Godhead. That anxiety will help us to grow in our spiritual life. And that is only and only brought if we take some responsibilities towards Krishna, towards devotional service. It absorbs our mind, and that is what the perfection of bhakti is. To conclude, I'll just say that what our acharyas have to say on the second verse of Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. So as per Srila Jiva Goswami, this verse explains the vijnana, the realization of the subtle science that occurs by the Lord's grace in order to teach us the real truth. So we last time we covered that how the first verse deals with jnana of sambandha jnana, but this verse deals with vijnana. Jnana is just to have a knowledge, and vijnana is to realize that knowledge, to understand our sambandha with Krishna. As per Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, this verse substantiates the understanding of our sambandha jnana. As per Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this verse explains about actions of Mahamaya and Yogamaya. And as per Bhakti Vinod Thakur, this verse explains the knowledge of the form of Maya Shakti and Jiva Shakti. And finally, by our dear Srila Prabhupada, the right conclusion is of dovetailing everything in relationship with the Lord. And that is what is called Yogamaya. And the wrong conception of detaching a thing with the Supreme Lord or from its relationship with the Supreme Lord, then that is called Mahamaya. So Prabhupada always used the word dovetail. Actually, this word dovetail is the only word in Krishna consciousness that helps us survive in Krishna consciousness. Because through that, we can dovetail all our actions onto Krishna Bhakti. So this is all what I have to say in this regard, in the second verse. But I'll also honor the request of Preeti Vilasni, as she requested everybody to speak something on the glories of Lord Ram. So I'll not take much time because I'm already over time. But just spare five to 7 minutes more so that I can say something in the glorification of Lord Sri Ram. So we all know that Lord Sri Ram is the reservoir of all pleasures. He's Rama, right? So, but, you know, it's always been substantiated that the glory of the name of Lord Ram is much more higher than Lord Ram itself. So I really like that scenario where Lord Rama, when he ordered everybody to build a bridge over that ocean to cross over so that they can reach Lanka. At that time, all the monkeys, they were writing the name Rama on the stone or rock, whatever, and they were throwing and everything was floating, right? So Rama thinks, one night he thinks, oh, see, everybody is writing the name of Rama and throwing, and the stones are floating. So let me also try. And he went in the middle of the night And he said, I am Rama himself, myself, you know, people are writing, these monkeys are writing my name. And it's because of my name, these stones are floating. So let me also throw one stone and let's see what happens. Because I'm Rama myself. So he threw one stone and what happened? It sunk. And Hanuman was watching. And Hanuman, when he was watching from behind, he started laughing. And Ram, Lord Ram, was totally, you know, embarrassed that, oh, why, Hanuman, why did it happen? And Rama said, Hanuman said that, in Hindi, I'll say, he says that jisko pakdoge par hoga wohi jisko pakdoge Ram, jisko chhodoge wo pal bhar mein doob jayega. Like, for those who don't understand Hindi, it means, oh Rama, those who will be clasped to your lotus feet will be able to cross over this ocean of material existence. But to those souls whom you will leave, they'll die. They'll again and again enter into the womb of all the different mothers and different species and will be entangled in the cycle of birth and death. They cannot cross over this ocean of material existence. So this is how we see that the name of Lord Ram is much more glorious than Lord himself. Lord Rama built a long bridge across the ocean to transport the monkeys, but the name Rama, it has basically transported the unlimited numbers of souls who have crossed over, not the ocean to cross over and to reach Lanka, but the ocean of this material existence. Lord Rama, basically, you know, he provided immortality to his servants like Shabri and Jatayu, but the Naam, Ram Naam, you know, has delivered many people without any qualification. So Lord Ram has killed Ravana, Kar, Dushana, but Ram Naam has extinguished many innumerable demoniac qualities that is present in our heart as lust, anger, pride, greed, so on and so forth. Lord Rama, he touched and he liberated one Ahilya who was imprisoned in stone, but Ram Naam has broken down so many prison walls of Maya. You know, it's not just one stone, but so many walls of Maya. Lord Ram, he purified forests like Chitrakoot and Dandakarnya by residing and walking in that forest. But Ram Naam has cleansed so many jungles that are there in our heart. Ram Naam gave shelter to Vibhishan and Sugriva, but basically Lord Rama. But Ram Naam has sheltered uncountable souls. Not only distribution and Sugriva, but those who chant the name of Rama, they have been sheltered by Lord Rama. So there is a verse, I don't know where this verse is from, but just I heard, so I think so it is from Tulasidas Ramayana, but I'm not sure. But it says, Bharjanam bhava bijanam, arjanam sukham sampadam, tarjanam yam dutanam, rama rameti gajanam. So what does it mean? Bharjanam bhava bijanam. If you roast a seed, then what happens? Does it fructify? No, it doesn't fructify. So the seed of our anarthas, the seed of our sinful activities, means the reactions to our sinful actions will not fructify. Arjanam sukha sampadam. Arjana means to possess, to carry, right? All the possessions, all the wealth, all the happiness one possesses. Tarjanam yamadutanam. Tarjanam means to throw away, to give up. Who? Yamadutas. The Yamadutas will not approach. To whom? So the sinful activities, the seed of sinful activities will not fructify. Yamadutas will not come near to you. And you will get all the possessions of happiness and, you know, sukha, sampadam, all the prosperity. How? Ram Rameti Garjanam. Those who, Garjanam means loudly roars the name of Lord Rama. So Ram Navami is coming, so we can just meditate on this verse and wholeheartedly sing the glories of Lord Ram by chanting his name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thank you all so much for patiently listening. And thank you so much for giving me a little extra time so that I may be able to finish. Thank you all for your association. Shla Pau Pad Ki Jai.
Hare Bol.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Hare Krishna Ketida Sundari Mataji, very, very beautiful class. Mataji, you are saying so nice points, and especially, you know, that one point I really like, you know, sometimes fall downs is really good. Every time if you succeed, then you think that you are Lord. So very nice point, Mataji. Mataji, I still have a confusion about that you are talking Maya circumstances, and what is another point you have used? I don't know correct English word, Mataji, but you were telling the situation or the circumstances, right? Maya, what is it? Can you please explain me, Mataji?
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your rapt attention and listening. Yes, I was telling that circumstance itself cannot be Maya, right? The circumstances cannot be Maya, or the scenarios or the person, they cannot be Maya. How we conceive those circumstances, how do we act, how do we respond to those circumstances, that is what is present in our mind, that is what Maya. Like I was given an example, if a man sees a beautiful woman, right? So if he sees a beautiful woman and he gets attracted to that beautiful woman, and he gets some lusty desires to enjoy that beautiful woman. So where is the fault? Is the fault in the woman? That the woman is so beautiful? The woman is there in front of the... why she is so beautiful? Why she is in front of that lusty desire man? No, there is no fault in the woman. Woman is beautiful. It's not because... she wants to be beautiful. It's because Krishna wants her to be beautiful. So Krishna made her beautiful. And she was there in front of that man. That's also not the fault of a woman. The fault is in the mind of the man who thinks that she is beautiful and so let me enjoy. If he thinks, seeing the woman, that how beautiful she is. And why? Because Krishna made him so beautiful. Krishna made that lady, that woman so beautiful. So ultimately, he is glorifying Krishna's abilities. That if Krishna can make this woman so beautiful, what about the gopis of Vrindavan? What about the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha? What about the queens of Dwarka? What about the gopis of Krishna headed by Srimati Radharani? How beautiful they must be. If that thought comes, then the same woman enhances the bhakti in that man. But if the desire comes, oh, let me enjoy this woman, let me exploit her, then the same woman will act as Maya, as a thought, that conception there in the mind of that person. That same woman will be the true fall down of that person. So that's why I was mentioning that the circumstances, the person, the scenarios, they themselves are not Maya. How we are relating to that circumstances or relating to that person, if we think the other person is the devotee of Krishna and deal in that way, then that is not Maya. But if we think, oh, that is for my enjoyment, then that is what Maya is. Hope it's clear, Natalie.
Yes, Mataji, very, very nice, Mataji, I understood. And one more thing you are talking is anxiety issue should be every time when we are doing any service or anything, the anxiety should be as if like we are doing for the first time, how we don't know anything, then when we do that, the same anxiety and same enthusiasm. Very nice, Mataji, that point also I really like. The other one, you are talking about Maya, why Maya is very nicely attacking us always, even though we are trying to, you know, serve Krishna, because our desire to serve Krishna is not strong. That is why it is attacking us, even though we are trying to serve Krishna. So really, really, Mataji, striking points where I can meditate on it, Mataji. Really, so beautiful class. So many points to learn and so much of, you know, my, I don't know how to tell it. It was so beautiful, Mataji. Excellent, excellent class. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji, Nilita Gandharvika Mataji, and thank you for summarizing the whole class in those 3-4 points. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Kirti. Hare Krishna Kirti Sundari Mataji. I want to also, jump on to Vinita Gandharvika's comment and say, what a wonderful class. I loved your examples. You know, especially when you were defining Yogamaya, so clearly you were explaining. I love the oxymoron example, Yogamaya, how she is covering us up, putting us in illusion in order to connect us to Krishna. So that was a beautiful example. And I also liked how you were saying to ignore the itch. So there's you know, words that are going to stick in my mind throughout the day: oxymoron, Yogamaya. You know, ignore the itch, and push. Maya's pushing the button, and how you explained, and I think that Vinita Gadadika also explained nicely too, that it's not the Maya is not that object or that scenario, as you said, it's not Maya itself, but how we react to it. Excellent examples, excellent points that we can put into our life. And also, I liked the example again you gave of the heart monitor going up and down. We know we're alive. So, and our focus, I remember by Sishika Prabhu, is our focus is to stay alive in Krishna consciousness. From the Sadhu Sangha a couple of years ago, that line I remember, and this is going to stick in my mind: stay alive in Krishna consciousness. The heart monitor has got to keep going up and down. Thank you so much. This was a very, very potent class for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pani Sri Mataji. Hope I'm able to imbibe some parts of this class in my own life. And as you said, these examples, these are not mine examples. They are all given by Srila Prabhupada and repeated by our Guru Vargas. So just like a parrot, I repeat it. They are not my examples. So glories to all of our Guru Vargas and Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Thank you for your kind words.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Go ahead, Mataji.
No, you do. You see, I go last. No problem. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mataji.
Mataji, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Oh, does somebody else want to speak? Kiji Mataji?
No. I was just hoping one by one everyone can speak. Okay. I'll just quickly say thank you very much. And I took notes. Thanks for reminding me to take notes, because last time I didn't take and I felt very guilty. So even this time I would have missed it if you had not told me. So first of all, thank you for that. And one thing that I really liked in what you were saying is, of course, the way you described what is Maya, what is not Maya, how Krishna defines Maya, the example of Ravana, and then about free will and the field of Maya. That was interesting. And then the point that it is very important to take up everything very seriously and sincerely and not take it lightly or carelessly. That was very striking, because that's what you do every time. You are very anxious about the class that you give, and I see that each and every time. So responsibility has anxiety. Very well said. Thank you so much. And thank you for summarizing all these points and making the concept of Maya very, very clear to each one of us. Thank you, Mataji. Very, very grateful for the fantastic. Hare Krishna. Everyone else can speak. I know so many people are waiting. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Sri Vilakshmi Mataji. Thank you for your words. Empowerment comes from you. I always say this. And I really mean it.
Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Mataji. All glories to the wonderful services that you do. Hare Krishna.
Hi, Krishna Mataji. Yeah, when you were... when you were speaking about this anxiety and taking up responsibility, I kept translating that in my mind as, and you can let me know if I'm off here, but the way I was interpreting that was that, you know, since we are powerless on our own, you know, then when we take up a responsibility, we put ourselves in a position to depend on Krishna for what we're striving to achieve. And because we don't have that ability on our own, that puts us into that anxiety. But that dependence on Krishna is, my understanding is that that's what Krishna is looking for in us, that attitude of dependence, so that, you know, we can see how he is taking care of us, you know, that he is the one, you know, protecting us, you know, and doing for us and bestowing his mercy on us. So if we take up a responsibility, I feel like the benefit of that is that, you know, we are putting ourselves in a position to experience Krishna's mercy through our dependence on him to carry out that responsibility. That's how I am seeing the value of that kind of anxiety. So I'm wondering if I was on the same page with you, or
yes.
Did that need some adjustment?
No, you are on the same page. Yes, anxiety do bring us closer to Krishna. You have the right understanding.
Okay. Thank you so much. Always a very clearly laid out class. Very clear thinking. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gaurangi Mataji. One quick question. I feel like you are not feeling well. Everything
well,
okay?
Yeah. Oh, I know my voice. I do have this this problem that, you know, I'm perfectly healthy, but whenever my body is fatigued, it shows up. I give myself away through my larynx. My larynx gets weak. And so I sound like I have laryngitis, but I'm perfectly healthy. But thank you so much for asking.
Thank you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Kirtida Sundari Mataji Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. How nicely you explained that when the jar is full of Krishna consciousness, then there is no place Maya. And whatever talent given by Srimati Radharani, Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Shri Radha Gopinath, we have to use in a Krishna consciousness. For that we have to work hard. Today's everyday presentation, all Matajis or Prabhujis are working hard. Yes, they have talented to explain Krishna Katha so nicely, but we can see the potency and we can see that you all are working hard, like you, Prithvi Vilasini Gopi, and other Vaishnava are reading from 5-6 books. We can understand how much hard work you are doing to give us Krishna conscious Mataji. Oh, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Srila Radha Gopinath is so happy, Mataji. Like, it's like a bowl of potency, Mataji. So many instruction you are given to us. So many kathas are like sugar-coated pills. Like, if you are given us directly, we are not qualified to digest it. But like Nachte Khet, Khilte, you all are explaining Shishi Bhagavatam Katha, Shishi Chaitanya Charanamrita. Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam Mataji. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Thank you so much, Srinda Gopika Mataji, for always showering your kind, encouraging words to all of us. But I'll still say that it's only your sincerity, that how sincere you are in attending all the classes every day and glorifying the speakers. So all glories to you, Mataji. And yes, you rightly said that pastimes, stories, they are the sugar-coated pills through which we do get the message of philosophy, but sugar-coated. But some subject matter in Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita are just the direct pills that we have to take, no matter if we like it or we don't like it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kirtida Mataji. Thank you so much for this class, Mataji. And I feel this class as like a, for me personally, it's like a chastisement class, Mataji. Because it's more of telling that we have to shred our ego. Then only we can survive in our Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever activities or whatever services or however we feel each and day in the progressing of Krishna consciousness, each and day, every day we have to shred our ego. Then only we can progress. And at some point, Mataji, it is like the class is like Simhavalokanam, we say. Like the lion moves forward a few steps and sees back how far the lion came and what are the bad things in the forest. So in the same process, while I am moving in my Krishna conscious life, so at some point we have to check back how I am progressing. Means I am detaching and I am completely surrendering to Krishna, whatever I am doing. So this is like a very, very nice class, Mataji, and personally I feel that you're like a big elder person chastising me personally. You're not nothing, but you have to completely surrender to Krishna without any ego. And it is excellent class, Mataji. I will hear each and every day to shed my ego. Thank you so much, Kritida Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Everybody's ego, all the anartha, they try to kill all the anartha. You are right, Mataji.
Yeah, it is like we should not have any kind of attachment to whatever we are doing. Completely Krishna's mercy. Excellent class, Mataji. Excellent.
Thank you so much, Shama Supriya Mataji. Thank you. But I hope that this class will not be the same example that I gave, that it transforms your life, but it boosts my ego. So just pray that I should not fall into this category and should always be transformed, be humble, and try to progress more and more in my Krishna Bhakti. I really want all of you to pray so that my ego doesn't get boosted and I also get transformed just like you all.
Mataji, it teaches that our senior is working hard from 18, 19, 20 years very patiently so that now it's our turn that we have to become sincere, whatever quality given by Srimati Radhanani, like a Vaishnava song, bhajan or cooking. So we should, for that presentation, we should be take sincerely sincerely vow, and we will serve Shishi Radha Gopinath Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev so sincerely. We learn lesson from Vilas, Priti Vilasini, and you and all preacher Mataji.
Thank you,
Mataji.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Actually, one of the comments just reminded me that I did have just one other question. Remember when you were giving an example of somebody who is given the opportunity to sing and they decline because they don't feel qualified, and then that turns into envy. But were you saying that when they declined, that was a form of pride?
See, Mataji, there are two scenarios to consider in this. Sometimes we decline because of utter humility. We really think that we are not suitable for that service, so we simply decline, take a step back. But at the same time, when somebody else takes up that service, we feel happy about it. That's the genuine humility we have, and we decline that service. Sometimes we decline the service thinking that, let me not do it. Like people normally say, right? I'm the most fallen person. I'm the most fallen of the fallen. So Prabhupada says you are most of nothing. You are not even the most of fallen. Because if you are really Patita Pavana, then Mahaprabhu will come and deliver you. So when we sometimes decline the service, not because of the utter humility, but again, something that, if I do the service, I may become proud.
okay, fine, you may might become proud, don't do the service, but at the same time, be happy if others are getting the chance to do that service. If others are getting the chance and we are thinking that, oh, that person is simply boosting up, that person is simply showing off, then our humility of saying no to the service is basically transformed into pride and then ultimately transformed into envy.
Yeah, that's the part that was the part that I wasn't following so well, that, you know, if a person declined to do it, let's say it was maybe, I think you're saying some false humility, out of like a false humility. It's not that they were I guess they were just trying to appear humble. Not that they were really feeling unqualified.
They're just trying to, they're trying to appear.
This fake humility, that's what you're referring to as a pride, is it?
Yes. Because that fake humility will bring us pride eventually. That fake humility what we have will bring us pride in us. And that pride will ultimately lead to envy.
Yeah, that fake humility, how it leads to pride is what I'm not following. How it leads to pride.
Okay, I'll give you one example. If Preeti will ask me, approaches me and say, Mataji, can you give a seminar on, let's take a topic of, okay, Mataji, we want to start a new book, Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Can you give the seminars or a series of lecture on that Laghu Bhagavatamrita? And out of fake humility, I'll say, oh, no, I'm not qualified. And, you know, let me not do it. Let somebody else can do it. And then Preeti will ask me, will say, okay, fine, if you don't want to do it, then let me do it. And then she does it. And then now what happened is my chance is gone. My fake humility has made my chance to go away when I got a chance to glorify Krishna. Because of my fake humility, I said no. And now when she is giving class, all the devotees are praising her, and now what I am feeling is that, oh, it's better if I would have given class. What class she is giving? She is not connecting to the point. She is not sticking to the point. It's better if I would have given the class. I would have given better class. So now what happened? Uh-huh. This pride is coming in me that I am better than her. Better I would have given the class. And then now what happened? Now people are simply praising. WhatsApp is full of glorification of Preeti Vilasini. And now what happened? My envy, that pride has transformed into envy. Hey, forget it. She is not good. Next time when she'll approach me, I'll immediately say yes so that I get the chance and let people glorify me. See, this is such a crude example I gave. I really beg forgiveness onto the lotus feet of Preeti Vilasini. I don't mean it consciously, but just explain in a better
way. This was fun, Mataji. Real fun. Thank you.
Oh, God. Oh, boy, that was so funny. She says, next time she offers, you will immediately pick up her offer. Oh, my God, that was funny. Well, yes, it's very clear now, Papaji.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Hare Krishna.
Okay, so are there any more comments, questions, realizations, corrections?
Hare Krishna Mataji, and with the name on Guru Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
I was wanted to ask, I was working and was listening to my lecture. I very much wanted to join your class live. I always been hearing the recordings, and the very first recording of your lecture when I heard, I was very much impressed, and that really helped me a lot. So whenever
your lecture comes, I put a star in order to listen it to later, and I hear almost all your lectures. So today I got the chance to be with you. So I'm really inspired, Mataji, that I'm feeling very happy now being with you in this, though not personally. Now, Mataji, I have two questions. Like, how should we deal with the Vaishnava, with the devotees who are envious with us? How can we deal? Like, we have to be, we should not have enmity with anyone, but Krishna will be pleased if we are friendly and merciful, or if we have that kind of qualities in us, so that we have to be very compassionate to all devotees and all. But how to deal with the devotees, like, they just, I mean, like, who are envious with us, like, they just smile, but they really don't want to be with us or have our association. How to deal with them? Can you guide me in that, Mataji?
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much. May I know your name? You're Radhika Mataji?
Arundhati.
Arundhati Mataji.
Oh, Arundhati Mataji. From Philadelphia, right?
Yes, yes, Mataji. Then don't pronounce. How are you, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, your question is quite valid, that how do we deal when others are envious to us? See, Mataji, again, the point here is to understand. Maybe others can also add, but what I understood is we have no control on others, really no control. So even if those who are envious with us, we have to deal with them politely. We have to deal with them thinking as if they are the devotees of Krishna. But at the same time, it's not that we have to apply the principle of Tadati Pragnati that Rupa Goswami gives in Nectar of Instruction. But revealing ourselves, revealing our mind and confidential with those devotees. When we think something is wrong and we could feel something in other devotees, then of course that principle we can avoid. But it's not about that only applying that principle of revealing our mind confidentially, but rather we should be taking it easy, not having approach of enviousness. If somebody is envious, we don't have to approach tit for tat, blood for a blood. No, we don't have. That's not the right way. And we cannot control anybody else's envy. We have no control over that. We can always pray. At the same time, maintain a reasonable distance. At the same time, respect that devotee. So these things, we should try to do it. That's what, you know, I feel through my experience. But yes, others can also add, please, if they have some relevant points to it.
No. Mataji, I just want to add one point, because I had the same question a few years back, and I asked Kalasudha Mataji what to do when, you know, some people are envious, I mean, like, even among devotee circles, and she told that envy, we cannot help, only Krishna can remove, so we can only pray to Krishna that, you know, they remove the envy from the other person. But practically, it's not possible for us to do anything about, like you rightly said, about the other person's psyche.
Thank you for adding my question. So, Arundhati Mataji, that's true, right? We cannot do anything. So, just maintain a persistence, respect that devotee.
But we have to greet, right, Mataji? Like,
yeah, of course, we should. Yeah. We should.
Even if they don't respond.
No matter what. Let them not respond. Krishna knows, right, that how we are dealing. So let that equation be between Krishna and the other devotee, why we are intervening in between. Let us greet. Why not? We should greet Hare Krishna. How are you? If let them not respond, then Krishna will handle that. But we should not give chance to Krishna say that. Krishna may say that even you did wrong to that devotee, so you are also not right. Krishna should think that, okay, what we did is we did our part. Let us do our part. Let us greet. There is no harm in greeting. Right? But not getting too much involved. And at the same time, if we are not getting the response, that's also fine. Krishna will take care. It's not easy to say than to practice, but slowly develop that habit of practice.
Yes, Mataji. And what is the other devotee like? Comments on what's happening around me, and I'm feeling that because of that particular devotee, the other devotees are keeping a distance with me. So in that way, it really hurts, Mataji, at times. So then I thought Krishna knows everything, so no one is there with me. At least Krishna is there in my heart. So I keep chanting in my mind.
That's the right way. We should not take any offense. Giving offense is definitely not recommended, but we should also not take offense. Just let it go. That principle of let it go should be applied. Because again, see, we are here, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that if we are into this organization of ISKCON, that doesn't mean that everything will be happy, happy go around. No, this is in a hospital where all the deceased people are coming to get cured. I am deceased with pride, somebody can be deceased with greed, somebody can be with anger, somebody can be lust. So we all are deceased, having different diseases. It's just a hospital. Right. So it's everybody is here. Everybody is not pure. Everybody is here to become pure. So rather seeing the faults in others, let's try to focus on the faults of our own self and try to improve.
Okay, Mataji, thank you very much. And one more thing you had mentioned in the lecture, that we can always say that we are, no, I'm not a better person, I'm always fallen, like that. But how should we deal, like, when we are having, like, this kind of WhatsApp group, and any of our special occasion come, when they mention, oh, you do great service to the Lord. I mentioned in front of you all, I'm nothing. Then after sending that message, I was wondering whether did I do the right thing, or whether I'm showing off, or inviting others to say something, or what. I was just knowing. So I just asked my daughter, and she said, it is just you want others to tell more about you. That's why you want to listen. That's why you have sent that message. So, I mean, how should I deal? Like, can you guide me on this?
Yeah, Mataji. So if somebody is praising you and somebody is sending those praising messages, then at the same time, you should accept it. It's not that just reject it. That doesn't show the right humility. Accept it and then pass it on to your Gurudev or to your seniors. That's the right way. This normal examples, like, it's always been given that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur to tell the glories of the holy name. That's what Harinam Chintamani is. Now, Haridas Thakur, who is Haridas Thakur? He is chanting the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? He is chanting the names of Krishna. He is glorifying Krishna. And now Krishna himself in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking Haridas Thakur to say something about the glories of the holy name. So he was feeling utterly, utmostly, incapable in front of Mahaprabhu to say the glories of the holy name. But what he did is that he accepted it. He said, yes, Mahaprabhu, if you want, then I will speak the glories of the holy name. Though I utterly feel unqualified, but still I'll speak the glories of the holy name. But at the same time, I plead you, I beg you, I request you that you please reside in my tongue, so that in the form of words, so that the right words can come out and may I may speak the right glories of the Holy Name. So accept it. First accept it and then pass it on to your Guru Vargas. So if we don't accept it, then also it will not show the real humility. If we keep on saying, oh, no, I'm not good, No, this is not the right way. If people are praising you for some of your activities, accept it. Yes, it's the ability given to me, but don't feel pride about it. Don't feel proud about it. Just think that, yes, this is whatever good is in me, it's because of my Guru Vargas and Krishna. And what are the faults in me is because of my own self, my own ego. Right? This is how we have to deal with
it. So, it was wrong that I should not have said that, no, I'm nothing before you, I should not have said like that.
Not saying that, just say thank you, but in the next line you should say, yes, thank you Mataji for encouraging me for whatever services I did. But at the same time, all those abilities are given by my Guru Vargas, so all glories to Guru Dev and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. This is how the right way. We have to keep on practicing. Accept it and then pass it on. If we just simply say, oh, no, I'm not. All this negation is not always good. Humility is not something that you fake. Humility is something that is genuine.
No, okay, thank you, Mataji. In my group, I mean, so, like, even it is not good to be quiet without seeing anything, is it? It is not good.
What you said, Mataji, I couldn't get it.
Like, in the same situation, like, it will not be good just to be quiet without seeing anything, is it? Can we be just quiet?
Then that means that you are accepting everything. If somebody is praising you and if you are just keeping quiet, that means that you have accepted everything. And you have accepted and keep it to your own self. You have not passed on. And if you have not passed on to your Guru Vargas, then that will bring pride in us eventually. So just keeping quiet is also not good.
The thing is, I don't want to show, I feel
yes,
very Marini, embarrassed.
It's not a matter of show off. See, if somebody is praising me, I'll give you an example. If like you only said, Mataji, I like your classes. If I say, oh no, Mataji, what is this? You know, it's nothing me. What I'm doing, this ability is given to me by Krishna, by my Guru Vargas. I have been trained in this process. It's not that from the very first day of my Krishna consciousness, I was able to give class. No, somebody forced me, I prepared, and then eventually keep on praying and having all those anxieties and taking up all those responsibilities that made me take up the service to give class. Now, if somebody is praising me, and if I just keep quiet, then it shows that, yes, I'm happy that you praised me. And if I just negate it, then I'm negating the quality of Krishna. So basically, I'm negating Krishna now. Because this ability is given to me by Krishna only, or by my Guru Vargas only. I have been trained in this process, right? So we have to give this right glorification to our trainers, to our Guru Vargas. And that is also very important. So definitely. Keeping quiet is also not good, and simply not giving and passing on to our seniors, that is also not good. Take it, humbly take it, accept it, and then pass it on to Guru Vargas.
Thank you very much, Mataji. I learned now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Arundhati. Thank you. Okay, so it's already 12:46 EST. I think so. We'll stop here now. So thank you all so much for all your association.
Thank you for the class.
Okay. Yeah, if there are no more questions, we can end the call here by offering obeisance to Mataji and the Vaishnavas. Once I type at OBS, if you pass Hindu, we are in the Vaishnavi, Mona, Ananda Koti Vaishnavi, the Kija, Shila Prabhupada, Kija, Har Grace, Kiji, the Hadri, Kiji, Jai, Mataji, the Kiji, Shila
Prabhupada, Kiji, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm.